much. I appreciated all of that, and always, excuse me, tell the preacher he never has to cut anything out for me. Again, I'm one of those preachers, when you tell me a certain time to start, I'll start, yes, but when you tell me a certain time to stop, I know how to do like they do at the deli, just cut it off right here. And so I've done that so many, many times. Now, when I say that, I don't do that at home because I'm running the show, as they would say. But when I'm out, I've learned how to take and preach in a message that you had set up for 10 minutes, 12 minutes. And when it's supposed to be for maybe 30, 35 minutes, I know how to make it 12 minutes. You say what you do. I take out all of the illustrations that my wife gives to me and just preach the word of God and stuff. So, I just thank you so much again. Again, I love this church. I love your pastor. I love you, dear people. So many of you have even today said that you were blessed. I leave sometime wondering, were we able to preach God's word the way God wanted to be preached? And just to hear some of you talk about how God blessed you and he helped you, that's a blessing to me, because who knows what to preach when you go somewhere. At home, you don't know what to preach, but you get a theme or a thought and a vein that you're running in, and you get in that and you just stay until God tells you to go elsewhere. But when you come to preach somewhere, you're saying, what do I do? I come in here and I see, up here, building and rebuilding. And I didn't know that because I came tear it down and tear it up some more. So you don't know what to really do and what to preach. So thank you so much again for everything. And thanks so much for the feeding us, because we didn't have to go anywhere. A lot of times, you know, when we go somewhere to I go somewhere to preach. My wife, of course, is with me most times. You got to find somewhere to go eat. And I'm so wet from preaching underneath that I don't like to go out in the weather anyway, and raining today and stuff. And so I like to just get something. That was just a wonderful setup. And I just want to say thank you. Appreciate it. I want to say thanks to all of the different groups that sang tonight. I love that. Now, sometimes my wife will take her camera out and start recording. And then as soon as I get ready to say amen, she goes, shh, 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 shh. Like, we don't want your voice on this. And and so it's hard to sometimes sit there and not say amen and stuff. I don't know about you, but I'm telling you something. I'm so glad I get to praise the Lord, especially in a church that praises the Lord. Amen. Now, again, that's just me. I know he said it. That's Brother Robinson for real. That's how I am. And I just thank God that I'm saved. I thank God I get to go to heaven. Thank God that he's given me a second. I just thank God for all he's done in my life. And I just hope that tonight I'll be able to help you to just once again, through the hard times of life and things that are going on, just continue to praise the Lord. Just continue to praise the Lord. Tonight, I'm going to speak from a thought, I will. I will. That's it. I will. And we'll show it to you here in just a moment. So get your Bible and go to the 18th Psalm, Psalm 18, and go to verse number 1. We'll read verse 1, 2, and 3. And the whole thought is, I will. I will. I will. Well, I will. Yes, Lord, I will. I will, dear God. Yes, I will. Now, a lot of times we say those words because we know that that's what people expect out of us. But I want you to understand something here. I don't want to say something because of what I think people expect. I want to say what I'm saying because it's what I really feel in my heart. I will do these things. I will trust the Lord. I will love on God. You'll see here in just a moment. The 18th Psalm, and if you found it, go ahead and stand in honor of God's word tonight. And I'm just going to read real quickly. Verse 1, 2, and 3. The Bible says, look at that. I will. What? Love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Look at verse 3. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So will I be saved from my enemies. Notice what it says again, verse number 1. I will. What I'm going to do, I will love thee, O Lord. Verse number 2, I will what? Trust. I will trust in whom I will trust. Verse number 3, I will call upon the Lord. Now, again, those are easy words to say, and we'll get to something here in just a moment. We can say those things when the sun is shining, but are we able to say those things when the storm clouds are raising? Arising up. Are we able to say, I will continue to love thee? I will continue to trust. I will call upon the Lord. So easy to say, But all of a sudden, one day, a trial comes. A test shows up in our lives. And are we still going to say, I will? I will. I hope tonight you'll say that. Now, understand something here. It should be something easy for us to do. When it comes to I will, it should be something that's normal. It's just a normal way a Christian does things. It's something that's natural because that's in our nature. I will. I will love. I will trust. I will call. I will. That's just how we do it. Now, please understand something. When it comes to the world, there's some things they're going to do. They say, I will. I will. I will. And ain't a thing you can do about it. Can I say thing around here? Or do I have to say thing and all? I hope I don't have to articulate and be all proper and stuff. I'm just old country boy. I'm from Chicago by way of Mississippi. All my folks are from down south, but they had me born up north. Amen. And then up north, I don't know how to speak like the people up north. I'm just an old southern boy. Amen. So they're going to do what they decided they're going to do no matter what you say. You and I need to decide this no matter what's going on. I will. Father, would you bless again tonight, I pray. Help us to be able to get a hold of this great truth. And Lord, it's just a wonderful, wonderful truth in your word. Help us, encourage us, dear God. Strengthen us, build us up now. We're weak, Lord, when all these things are going on in our lives. But we know again, thou art strong. Bless us today to be able to say when the tough times come, when the decisions have to be made, dear God, that just don't not something that we just want to go through it, but we know we have to. Let us say, I will. In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Go ahead and be seated if you don't mind. Please, go ahead and be seated. Here's what one of this wonderful thing is. Up front, what you have here is the psalmist David saying what he will do, what he will do, what he will do, what he will do. As a matter of fact, I wanted to do something here. I was hoping I had a couple good old bus captains here. And I don't know if there's some bus captains here, but most of you know verse number 3. And if you don't know it, something's wrong with our bus ministries nowadays. You know it. I will call upon the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. So shall be saved from my enemies. I will call upon the Lord. Now, do we guys have some bus captains that are brave enough to come and help the old preacher out? I just need to. We got a bus captain right here. Come on, help us out there. Like, this is the one again this morning that says, this team wouldn't be anything without me. Pride go before destruction and the Holy Spirit before fall. All right. So we get another one over here. I need another bus captain. Come on, somebody. Who you pointing at? There we go. Come on now. All right. So right down the middle here, you decide which team you want to be on. But you know how the song go, right? Yeah. We're going to do it all together at first, and then after a while, we're going to have a little competition. You say, what are you going to win after the competition is over with? With the winning side, what are they going to get? Nothing. But we want to do this song. Matter of fact, you know verse 46 that goes with it, right? Isn't that verse 46 that goes with it? Did I mean? Yeah, all right then. Come on, let's have a fun time in evening church. Come on now, let's go everybody together. You guys know how to work together, don't you? Okay, let's start here. Everybody, let's go. I will call upon the Lord. Come on now. So shall I be saved from my enemies. I will call upon the Lord. The Lord. And blessed be the rock, and with the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my... All right, this side start first, and this side follow. Come on now. I will call upon, who is worthy to be... Who? Come on now. I'll be saved from my enemy, and I will call upon everybody together. Come on now. The Lord, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of salvation be exalted. The Lord, yes, and blessed be the... One more time. Let's get you started over here, okay? Let's go. Come on.
Who is
Good. They're catching on now. So shall I be saved? Shall I be saved from my enemy? And I will call upon. Yes, come on now, let's go. The Lord. And blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord, yes, yes. And let the God, come on, do that verse 46 again. The Lord living, let's go. The Lord, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord, one more time, come on now. One, we're going to do it like in the black church. Keep saying it over and over again. The Lord liveth. Let's go. The Lord, yes. And bless. And let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord. And bless. And let the God of my salvation be exalted. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat, gentlemen. Amen. Isn't that fun? Doesn't that bring a little joy to your heart? And you know the reason why, again, we have to get these I wills down? I will love God. I will trust in him. I will call upon his name. Because I want you to look at verse 4. Verse 4. Matter of fact, right in the middle of this here start of the psalm and the end of the psalm. And we're not going to go too deep into it, but notice what he says here. The sorrow of death compassed me. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of the temple, and my cry came before him, even unto his ears. You know what the psalmist said? The psalmist said, I got to get something settled right now. I got to get something nailed down right now. What's that? I will. I will. I will. Why? Because circumstances are coming against me. He talks about death. He talks about how death brought sorrow, and death has shattered his life, and death has taken, swallowed him up. He said, I'm taking this death thing. And what he's trying to say, there's all kind of people that are running after me. Matter of fact, David said one time, he said, there's just one step between me and death. And you and I need to understand something here. There is just one step between you and I and death. But understand this, while we're getting ready to take that one step, we can praise the Lord. Somebody say amen. While we're waiting on that next step, we can take and shout hallelujah. Matter of fact, do you know what this is? This is a psalm of praise. Amen. And I think he's trying to teach us something. If you don't have praise, you're going to always have a pity party. I can't go through life having pity parties. I can't go through life always with my head down. I can't go through life always feeling like think the burdens have me weighed down to where I can't get back up. So here's what he said. You better learn how to love the Lord, trust the Lord, and call upon the Lord. Why? Because your circumstances are coming against you. And so he helps us with this. By the way, you know the best place to do all of those things is in church. But I even got a better place. How about just at the house? Have you ever sometimes, ladies, heard your husband over in another room reading the Bible and say, Let me tell you something. Something's missing. Because when you wake up in the morning, all of a sudden you get that bad news. Matter of fact, yesterday, I don't even remember, but my wife's brother tried to call her at 2:30 in the morning. He forgot he was on the East Coast. We're on the West Coast. Yeah, he does that a lot. It wasn't any bad news this time, but there has been bad news. There's been some bad news. And if you don't have something going on the inside, brother, if you don't have a shout down there in reserve, if you don't have a praise up on your lips, the bad news will just take you down and down. And your circumstances, knowing what he said, just has me crying out. He's up crying, basically. He's pleading. He's appealing to God. And he said, this is where I feel like I'm at. But wait a minute. He started off saying God's good. Can I put this in Robinson terms? You heard it all the time and all the time. God is good. Amen. And so I will. I will. I will. Somebody say amen. And I'm telling you something here. If you don't have this in you. By the way, sometimes people look at this old preacher and say, what's wrong with him? You know what I do? I look right back at you and say, what's wrong with you? I don't understand how God's people who've had to go through so much, how we've gotten through COVID and all the other things that we've had to go through, how it is that God got us so down. We got a God who's trying to lift us up, who's trying to help us, who's trying to encourage us. See, here's what you and I need to do tonight. Are you still with me? Say amen. We need to get some things down. Watch this now, and we'll get to the text here. We need to say, I will what? Be devoted to God. Amen. I'm giving you the end of the message right now. I will be devoted to God. Nothing's going to keep that devotion. Nothing's going to slow it down. Nothing's going to stop it. I will be devoted to God. I'm devoted to a whole lot of things in life. When I was in the military, I was devoted to the military. I was devoted to playing basketball. But I tell you what, now that I got God, I'm devoted to Him. Amen. I'm telling you, ain't been nothing like serving the Lord. And for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Somebody needs to decide this today. I don't care what's going on. I don't care about the circumstances. I don't care how much I have to cry out. I'm going to be devoted. Amen. And somebody needs to say this. Dear God, I will be determined to stick by your side, knowing that you're by my side. Amen. I'll be determined to stay there. Amen. I'm going to move. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree planted by the rivers of water, I shall not be moved. Amen. Now let me tell you something here. As soon as you say that, devil say, we'll see. We'll see. We're going to find out. Will you be moved? Yeah. No, I'm determined to stay by his side. I'm determined to stay. I'm determined to be devoted to him. I'm determined to stay by his side. And please get a hold of this. I'm determined to defeat the devil. Amen. I'm determined. Amen. Now understand what I'm trying to tell you here. When I say defeat the devil, I mean in your own personal life. I'm determined to defeat the devil in my own personal life. Why? Because I got a God on my side who's going to help me. I know I've got this adversary, the devil, walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But guess what? He's not going to win. I'm going to defeat that old smutty thing. I'm going to resist him. And the Bible said he'll flee from me. I'm determined, amen, to stay by God. And I will defeat that old devil in my life. Amen. Now let me help you something here. If you're going to do those things, first of all, you better start getting a little bit of excitement about God. Can I help you to understand some things you need to do? Now, again, I'm going to get to the text here. You need to learn to elevate God in your life. Elevate God in your life. See, so many of us, God's just a part of our life. He needs to be the priority. He needs to be the priority in our lives. See, our biggest problem today is this. Again, all we've done with God is say, I'll let you have some, but you can't have it all. Our theme this year is, I give it all. Amen. I'm not holding back a piece, a portion, a part. God, you get it all. Amen. So I want to elevate God in my life. Now, hold on a second here. When you're elevating God in your life, let me help you understand something here. You got to be promoting God in your life.
That's true. Amen. Amen. That's true.
Hey, what you going to do about this? Well, let me check with God. You want to know what the biggest problems I saw in the Bible? And again, there's a lot of them in there. But when they wouldn't go and talk to God about what they need to make a decision about. I got a decision to make. I think I'll talk to God about it. Do you know that Joshua and the children of Israel made a big old state with the Gibeonites? Why? Because the Bible said they didn't seek counsel of the Lord. I'm going to elevate God. When I say elevate God, I don't mean I'm just going to lift him up. I'm going to promote him to where, guess what? Nothing gets done without his approval. Amen. Now, let me tell you, listen to me now. When you decide to do some of these things and you start seeing God work, it's easy to praise God when he comes through. So, got a question for you. Will you come to this altar tonight and say, I'm going to elevate God in my life? I got decisions to make. And there's a lot of people make decisions. Here's what they say. Man, I shouldn't have made that decision. Amen. That's true. Amen. I don't want to make a decision without God. Amen. I've made many decisions without God. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I've never done it. I'm here to tell you this here. It just doesn't work that way. I'm going to do this here. Not only elevate God, but I'm going to exalt God in my life. And when I say exalt God, let me just help you a little bit here. I'm talking about real praise of God. Can I help you with something here that God has helped me with? Most of us, we don't know how to praise God. And when I say praise God, I mean praise him. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter 13 that I'm going to give him praise. What? The sacrifice of my lips. You know how I know some of you don't know how to praise God? There's a song, and I almost guarantee it, that it hasn't been sung in most churches in years. And that's just, praise God from whom all blessings flow. When's the last time you sung it here? You don't sing it. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And to make it a good Baptist song, you say, amen. You remember that song? And we didn't sing it like that. I'll tell you something here. I wish I could take some of you down south to learn how to really praise the Lord. See, we praise that song here. Praise God from who? See, you start feeling it. Ooh. All blessings flow. And then that piano go, ding, 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 ding. Praise him, all creatures here be. I like the way we do stuff. Low. Praise him above ye. It fills up the room and it fills up the soul. Come on, somebody. Lay hold. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And by that time, everybody, yeah! Amen. Something's missing today. Everything is just going through the motions. So true. I'm telling you something. It's time to really exalt him. It's time to really praise him. If you're going to elevate him, let him have priority. And, of course, that means promote him. Then it's time to exalt him and learn to praise him. I'm telling you something missing today. Read the song. I will praise him. I will praise the Lord. I mean, over and over and over and over again, the Bible says, praise him. We even sing a song in our hymn, but praise him, praise him. Jesus, our blessed reach. We don't sing it, though. It's almost like, doom, 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 and we just try to get done. I'm so glad today. Listen, what you're trying to do, preacher, I'm trying to help you. Times are hard. Death is around us, and the devil is after us, and we've got to learn how to praise him. But not only by way of introduction do we want to elevate him, that means promote him in our life. We want to exalt him, that means praise him in our life, but we want to express him. Day to day, that means present him to others in our lives. We want people to know God is so good. I know, again, sometimes I sing something like that and I say, am I supposed to sing that here? Is it okay to sing this here? Is it all right? I mean, I know it's just a little 7-Eleven song, but I like some of them 7-Eleven songs too. Amen. Seven words, 11 times, come on. Yeah, because again, sometimes, I'm just being honest with you here. We've gotten to a place, and by the way, think about it here. God sometimes just wrote scripture that says rejoice evermore. And every time you read it, get this here, there's not another piece added to the verse. It's just rejoice evermore. And so you look at God and say, God, you can't be writing verses that have just two words in them. I better leave that alone. I get myself in trouble right there. So here's the thing I want you to look at today. I'm asking you to keep saying to the Lord, I will, I will, I will. Why? Look at our verse number 3, if you don't mind. I will call upon the Lord, get this, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Look what he says here. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy. Who is worthy. Who is worthy. Who is worthy. When you start looking at that word worthy, what you do is you look at the worth of something. And the Bible says, I'm calling upon him. Why? The psalmist, because he is worthy. He's worthy what? To be praised. Now, here's what I want you to do. Ask yourself, why is he worthy? Why is he worthy? So what we got to do right now is we got to do some things here. First of all, we got to declare his worthiness. We got to declare what makes him so worthy. Second thing we're going to do today is we're going to say, I need to learn how to demonstrate his worthiness. And then number three, are you still with me? Say amen. I'm going to declare his worthiness. I'm going to demonstrate his worthiness. And then I'm going to take and declare to the world his worthiness. How am I going to do that? I'll just give you the end of it real quickly. In my life, with my love, and on my lips. Somebody say amen. So you got point number three. All we got to do is preach point number one and two. So first question is this here. What helps us to declare God's worthiness? Write this down. I guarantee you, boy, this is the reason the word to serve God. Number one is his character. His character. Have you ever looked at somebody and says, you know what? That person right there, they got a character you need to be concerned about. Let me tell you something here. You don't ever have to be worried about God's character. I want you to get two things under the character of God. Number one, his righteousness. My God is righteous. My God is holy. My God is pure. My God has no sin in him. My God has never lied. My God has never stolen. My God is just righteous. There's the righteousness of God. Now, here's the thing about it. Most of you say, well, we already know that. Well, let me just help you with something else. The character of God. He's not only righteous, but he's always right. My God is right. Look what the psalmist said. Death is coming after me. I don't know why death is coming after me. I tell you why things are happening in our life. It's because of sin. My God is not wrong towards you. My God hasn't mistreated you. My God has not dealt with you in an evil way. My God is right in what he does with us. And not only is he right, but understand something here. My God still deals with us with mercy and grace. Look at the character of God. He loves us so much. He looks at our sin. When we confess it, he forgives us otherwise. Because my God does things right. Amen. God said, I'm righteous. There ain't nothing, listen to me, there's nothing in me that you can look at me and say, now guess what? He has no right to judge me. Oh, yes, he does. And he's right in everything he does with us. Amen. My God, his character is pure, is spotless. Amen. And so when I call upon the Lord, I know who I'm calling on, the righteous and right God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Why should we call on the Lord? I hope this will help you even more, not only because of his character, but because of his cross. Amen. My God's cross, the cross, he's worthy because, listen to this here, go to the book of Revelation if you don't mind, Revelation chapter number 5, Revelation 5, real quickly, I got to keep moving real quickly here. The Bible says in Revelation 5, and they sang in verse number 9, a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seal thereof, for thou was slain and has redeemed us by God, by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Verse 12 says this, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. In other words, my God is worthy. Why? Because of his character. He is righteous and he is right every time. But because of his cross, my God is worthy. He stood the test of time. He took the cross of the Calvary. He died, was buried, and he rose again. And my God did all of that, not for himself, but he did it for me. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. My God was slain. My God was scorned. My God was spit upon. My God was slapped. My God was shamed out there on the cross of Calvary. And why did he do it? For the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Why? Because he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. And watch this. And all we like sheep have gone astray. And return everyone to his own way. My God is worthy to be praised. Why? Because my God did all of this for me. Somebody say amen. Wait a minute now. Who do you know would have done all of that for you? Who do you know took everything upon the cross, upon his shoulders for you? I don't know one person. So here's the first thing we're doing. We're declaring, determining God's worthiness to be praised. Amen. Second thing we're going to do, I'm going to skip three or four more of those. We're going to demonstrate God's worth and say he is worthy to be praised. Can I ask you a question? The next time some song is being sung, are you going to do what mama said? Sit there like a bump on a log? You know what you get out of a bump on a log? Nothing. Let me explain the word nothing. That means no thing. Nothing from that no thing. Can I ask you, does God deserve to be praised? I said, does he deserve to be praised? Do you think God desires praise? If he didn't, I don't know why he put it so much in the Bible. I think he deserves it. When I look at all the wonderful things he's done for me, I think he deserves it. And when I look at how he tells us in the Bible, and the psalmist keeps saying, I will praise the Lord. He's going to keep on talking about how good. I think he desires it. Amen. Now, here's the thing about it. He could just demand it. He could just come up and put you in the headlock and say, you better praise me. But I think he delights when we just do it. Now, you know, here's the problem today. Because we've been so phony with God. Most of the time when somebody praises God, here's what people say. That ain't real. That ain't real. You know what? People don't do some of the things they used to do. Why? Because you look at them and say, they're not real. I remember sometimes when preaching would be going on and all of a sudden they get closer and closer to the edge of their seat and to the edge of their seat. Before you know it, they're standing up and they're just saying, God, preacher, preach, preacher, preach, preach, preacher, preach. Now, I know preachers don't all preach like I do, but every once in a while they take off and take a lap. And then they come back and they like me, old, and so they got to sit down again. Till they get their second wind. You know God is saying? We don't have too much of that today.
That's right, we don't. Amen.
We don't have any more people with real praise.
That's right, amen.
By the way, you know how I know when we're praising God? Watch this now. The Bible teaches us real praise puts us in a proper posture.
Oh, that's good. Amen. Amen, amen.
When we really praise God, we learn to bow down and not always.
Amen, 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 amen.
Some of us, especially men, we're just too cool to praise God. Wow. Praise God. Matter of fact, listen to me now. On a Sunday when I'm at home, I can go through two shirts minimum, maybe three or four shirts from preaching. Somebody even came to me and say, you preach like that all the time? I say, he's been good to me all the time. You say, preacher, the four shirts? Yeah. I understand something. It's not because of my preaching. But that's okay. Are you still with me now? I'm just trying to help you understand something. Something's missing today, and it's just praising God. I'm going to praise God. He's worthy to be praised. Somebody say amen. I'm going to praise God. I'm declaring why I'm going to praise God. He is worthy. I'm going to demonstrate how I'm going to praise God. Not only with, again, my lips, but also in my posture. I'm going to praise God. Why? Because nobody like God is worthy to be praised. And I told you at the end, and I'm done, I'm going to declare God's worthiness to the world. Sing praises to the Lord which dwell in Zion. Declare among the people his doing. Psalms 9, verse 11. Psalms 73, verse 28. But it's good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I will declare all his works. I'm going to praise the Lord. Psalm 96, verse number 3. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all the people. I'm going to praise him again with my life. I'm going to praise him in my love. I'm going to praise him with my lips. I'm going to praise the Lord, amen. So, preacher, again, verse 4, circumstances, crying out. Why should I praise God? Listen, are you still with me? Because he's the one who sustains me through it all. Whew. He's the one, when the waves start crashing and the winds start blowing, he's the one when the wicked people get on my trail. He's the one I go to, and I ask him to hide me in the rock. I ask him to be the anchor in that hole. Somebody say amen. I ask God to take, he sustains me. And I'm here to tell you something. Here's what the psalmist is trying to teach us. God sustains us. I'm going to get down here. God supplies us. God strengthens us. God supports us. Boy, I tell you what, you can go on and on and on about the goodness of God. Let me ask you a question. Has God ever done anything for you? I said, if God ever done anything for you? Amen. Now watch this. Listen to me. You going to praise God? Amen. Oh, wait a minute now. Not just with your posture, but with your lips. Yeah. So if I was to ask you, popcorn, 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 stand up and talk about how good God has been. How many of you be saying? Oh, by the way, it's the evening crowd, right? Most of the time the evening crowd is saved, right? Most of the time the evening crowd know they're on their way to heaven, right? And most of the time, the evening crowd is just as bad as the morning crowd because how about it? Got something to say? Come on, stand up, speak tall. He's wonderful. Come on, keep on. All right, that's enough. Let me get somebody else. Let's get something going here. Come on. We used to have what I call testimony time. And when you had testimony time, sometimes you couldn't even get to the preaching time. Amen. Why? Because everybody had something to say. Many times we have testimony at our church, and my wife kind of sits down there, and she don't say anything. And then she said, well, if nobody's going to say anything, I got something to say. You say, you let your wife talk like that? My wife want to praise him. My wife's excited about him. My wife enjoys him. Hey, somebody else, give me some popcorn. Testimony time. Then praise him. Come on now.
The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning.
Come on now. Amen. Go ahead, have a seat real quickly. Somebody else got to say something. Somebody else, real quick. Let me get somebody real quick. Testimony time. Come on, help. I will call upon the Lord. He is worthy to be praised. Amen. There you go. Come on. There you go. See, here's what I'm saying. And look at how it is. Preacher, we don't do that around here. Can I say something? Maybe you should. Maybe you should. I'm not a great preacher. You know why people sometimes let me come to preach? They say, you got an energy I want. My energy is not within me. My energy is from today. When I walked down an aisle to get saved, and I didn't get saved that day. And the preacher told me how to be saved. Next week, I walked down the aisle. That week, I got saved. 2 weeks later, we went to go get baptized. We didn't have a baptistry in the church. I'm done. We didn't have a baptistry in the church. So we had to go down to the Pentecostal church to be baptized. Man, you walk up in there, they were having church. That wasn't the whole thing about it. I was getting baptized, brother. And a few rows back, about the third row, while they were singing that old song we used to sing, take me to the water. See, she knows what all. Take me to the water. Take me to the water. And then the old deacon would say, what for? Say, and everybody say, to be baptized. We knew how to have church, amen. Am I lying? Come on now. Look at, he getting excited up in here. You think we didn't have to, we knew how we got saved, but about three rows back, when they were taking me to the water, a lady fell out. And we fell out under the power of the Holy Ghost. She fell out. She was having a heart attack. And they were trying to, at the Pentecostal church, trying to call us, oh, dear God. Wow. My mama said, call the ambulance. They are getting slapping her on the head, putting oil all up on her. I know when somebody called for the elder, she wasn't calling for the elder. The heaven was calling on her. Mama said, call the ambulance. And she died. Sitting right there about three rows back. See, five rows back, you get saved. Three rows back, you might die. I'm gonna kill. I know. And that was the day when I started saying, he's real. He's real. Saw it for myself why I needed to be saved. I was thanking him more that day that I was saved. And if he did nothing else in my life, I had something to praise him for. Because I got in before death knocked at my door. So I'm trying to say, you say, I don't have anything to praise him for. You saved? You on your way to heaven? You're going to walk streets of gold? Then you got something to praise him for. Because he didn't have to do it. And if you are here today and not saved, I can understand why you're looking at the preacher saying, what's wrong with him? I can understand that. Because you don't know what's in here. And I'm telling you something. If preacher, if I go somewhere, I walk in, and they say, hey, preacher's not here. You got something to say? Sure do. I've asked some guys from Golden State Baptist College that come by our church, sometime traveling. Hey, would you preach today? Oh, I'm not ready. You going back to college next semester? Don't waste your money. Come on now. Don't waste your money. You ain't got nothing to say about God? I don't know what to preach. Can't you preach the gospel? Amen. Can't you preach when you got saved? Come on, somebody. Here's what I'm saying. Some of you say, well, I don't have anything to say. If you're saved and you know it, you ought to shout it from the rooftop. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. Amen. I better stop now because all of these here folks that know where I'm coming from, they're starting to get excited. But that's how we have church. And that's okay to have church in here like that. If it don't violate the scriptures. Now again, I know your preacher's going to say, now, we don't say amen during the offering. I hope you get what I'm trying to say. Follow his lead. But I guarantee you, he might fall over dead too if somebody said, hey, man. Hey, the Lord. Glory to God. Again, I'll wave my hand. I'll stand up. I love to preach because I get to take a lot of laps because God has been good. I will. I will. I will. In the midst of my circumstances, in the midst of my tears, in the midst of my heartaches, in the midst of seeming like everything going wrong, I ain't giving up on God because he hasn't given up on me. Somebody say amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Simple message. I didn't come here to correct anything. I didn't come here to try to fix anything. I really didn't. I come here to let you know it's okay in the midst of all your heartaches to praise the Lord. He hasn't given up on you and he will never do that. Let's make sure we're not going to be just complacent Christians today, content with the norm. We're not going to compromise and give anything to contemporary ways, but I'm not going to be the silent one any longer in this church. Why? Because God's been good to me. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's all stand. The altar is now open. The music is playing. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this is the time. It happened for me back in 1967 at the Rock of Ages Missionary Baptist Church in Maywood, Illinois. It was Dr. Thomas Wade preaching the Word of God. I fully don't know, remember the whole sermon, but I know I needed salvation. I was under conviction. Didn't know how to be saved. He shared it with me that day. I came back the next week is when I finally got it down. And I'm here to tell you today, you can leave here with praise on your lips. If there's anybody here right now would say, preacher, if I died now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Listen, you can be young like I was. You can be an older person like Rhonda Reinboat was, 60 years old, who at 63 went off into glory at our church. You can be like Mrs. Josephine Fagoli, who was a principal and even went out on the mission field at 18, but didn't get saved until she was 84. Why don't you come today? If there's anybody like that, come. We got somebody to help you. Brother Johnson, we'll get somebody to help you. Preach, I'm here today, and I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. That's you? Heads about, eyes are closed. Heads about, eyes are closed. Heads about, eyes are closed. With you right now, wave your hand. Look at me and say, preacher, I'm not sure if that's you. Heads about, eyes are closed. Nobody looking. Just a time for you to work with God. Come on, let's be honest today. I don't know why you would leave a place like this, not on your way to heaven, still on your way to a burning hell. Heads about, eyes are closed. I will praise the Lord. I will. I will. I will.
And the altars are still open. We're letting people pray as long as they want here. And you can go ahead and be seated. Thank you, Brother Robinson. Man, that was great. Ushers, I'm going to ask you to come at this time here. And we're going to take our final love offering for Brother Robinson and his wife. And